And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 260, coming at you right after Schwarbaum's went bonkers in the walk-off derby is what I'm going to call it for the National League. We're going to finish up our positional previews, heading to the mound, relief pitchers, starting pitchers, and more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how we doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. Just got to watch the I did not even know they did a home run derby for a tie instead of extra innings in the All-Star game, but got to watch it with you in our lead up to the show, which is pretty damn cool. That was a fun game. I mentioned this earlier. It's funny how like I despise like All-Star game debates on like who should be in. I totally block that stuff out. But like I actually enjoy the game itself. It's to me, like it's super relaxed. I love how they mic up the players. They're all smiling, having fun out there. And then tonight's that wrinkle with the home run derby was cool, man.
Yeah, that was very cool. I'll have to go back and catch some of it. I saw a little bit early on. I was kind of watching on my phone while I was on dad duty throughout the rest of the evening. So got to sit down and watch about the bottom of the eighth on in my office. No, so good timing because I watched the National League blow it, and then I watched them walk it off. Like the home run derby thing was, I think every game now should be just in extra innings. You put guys up and
just go. Like if we're already just starting no more Manfred man, base, just
we're already yeah, starting just guys no more extra. Base, screw it. Yeah. Or how about this? If it goes like the 11th, you have to start going to derby now. Let's just go. Like you get a couple innings to try, and then it's over. I'm in.
I don't mind it, man. I don't mind it. I know we're pissing off the baseball purists already, but what else are we going to talk about during the All-Star break? I like that idea. I mean, that was honestly like truly engaging watching that.
Oh yeah.
That was sick. Well,
from like why they pick so-and-so to like, we're sitting here before it got down to like Schwarber and all. They just got to get four from those two guys. And it turns out they didn't. They just needed three from Schwarber to finish things.
Well, and then you've got Jonathan Aranda up there going 0-for-3. I'm surprised he hit three fly balls.
That's what you were saying before the show. We were talking. You're like, he's got 60% ground ball rate. Well, and he's not in a minor league ballpark. This is going to be an interesting story. Hits one off the brick wall. He's like 3 feet short of a home run, which would have put Big Meat Pete at the plate. It was exciting. Like for an All-Star game where all, like you said, all the turmoil about, you know, this guy's not playing, all this stuff turned out to be a pretty cool finish.
Absolutely. And back to the old unis, which is always nice. Those disgraceful, generic AL, NL All-Star unis are gone. They're back to their actual teams, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't mind it if they want to use it for the batting practice Mondays and those things. But game day, we grew up on that, and that was always the best part about, especially like when I'm like a Giants fan back in the day, and they weren't good. So it was like the highlight. Look, there's a Giants uniform on the field with so-and-so. I can't remember who said it in the Discord. It was also it rang true because it was like before interleague play, it was the one time you saw these guys face each other. So it was really cool to see, you know, so-and-so from the National League face the American League, so on and so forth. Like, unless it was the World Series, you never saw it. So that was also a pretty cool factor as well.
You're dating yourself, but I agree
with you. I do that every episode, so I think like they're used to it by now. Yeah. You mean the receding hairline, the gray beard? None of that dates me if you're watching on YouTube? No.
Well, technically, your hairline's not receding.
It's gone. Yes,
it's gone.
You are correct.
My man's not there anymore.
So. Yeah, fair enough. Good point, Ryan. Thank you. All right.
Anything I can do to lift your spirits during the All-Star break doldrums, I will be happy to. How's the rest of your break going? Are you joining not doing news and notes every night?
It's been nice. In bed kind of early last night. It was refreshing. But also catching up on some TV. I've been watching Quarterback on Netflix. Been meaning to catch up on that. That's entertaining. Finished the Bin Laden doc. Talked about that in the Discord. I thought I'm a history buff, so like I absolutely loved the behind the scenes narrative, the play by play for 10 years on that. That was very interesting to me. So I've been doing some of those type of things the last couple of days.
I've been down. I showed you a little sneak peek before the show. I've been down in the lab. Not in the lab. I'm adding weekly projections to our weekly planner for the Patreon. I think it's probably 80% there. It's ready for me to at least put out there and get some feedback from people on the Patreon. But yeah, I've got Fangraphs projection and roster resource driven weekly projections I'm going to roll out. Been working on through the break, so I'm excited for that to come out in second half. But
peeking at them before the show when you mentioned it, very, very exciting to see how that plays out, because it can make a big difference on your first half, second half, start, sit, so on and so forth. The way we like to utilize the pitching planner for maybe streams, this could definitely open up the eyes to stuff, especially as, you know, I was thinking about it today. On Thursday night, we're going to preview the week 18 Fab. For those keeping track at home, there's 27 weeks in the season. So we're down to like the last 10 weeks. We have about 2.5 months of baseball left. So it's past the halfway mark, obviously. And so a lot of people are out of money. So if you can have a sheet like that to go, hey, I can put a buck or two on this guy that maybe is, you know, hidden a little bit per se, who knows, that could go a long ways as well.
So absolutely.
Like it quite a bit. All right. We'll get to that on Thursday night though. Let's get to a little bit of news and notes. Again, there's not a ton because everyone's kind of radio silent right now. A lot of guys on Saturday and Sunday were like day to day with injuries. We will not find any of that out probably for the next day or two. That's a big who knows situation. I'm day to day when I get out of bed. So you just kind of roll with these things. But Austin Riley, he went to the IL over the past weekend with I'm calling it an oblique injury. They call it abdominal injury. I joked about it in the Discord, Ryan, that last year they kept him on the roster for 10 days without putting him on the IL. They put him on the IL immediately, maybe because the All-Star game is coming up, but they called up Nacho Alvarez. Any thoughts on this Braves situation?
Full disclosure, I did not even know you did news on the rundown tonight. So pulled that up on our shared Google Doc for the first time while you're talking. And probably realizing I did not even know half of this stuff actually happened. So that's where we're at. Nacho Alvarez actually wrote up Nacho Alvarez for Baseball HQ like last week as like he could be someone if the Braves trade Marcelo Zuna. That could kind of indirectly get more playing time, but I don't really know. Like, hasn't really played much at all this season. 54 plate appearances in the minors. We saw what Nacho did or didn't do at times last year. So you add on also the fact that this is probably not a long-term thing with Austin Riley. I'm not really interested in Nacho Alvarez until we see a little bit more in higher levels of minors and or he gets a longer run of playing time.
Yeah, I agree. Like there's avenues where he could be a shortstop for them. There's avenues like Ozzy Albies somehow disappears. There's ways he could find playing time. But again, I need to see a lot more before I get too invested in Mr. Nacho, who made people very excited last year when he was called up.
He was a fat guy, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yep. And that did not pan out, obviously. So keep that in mind.
Ozzy Albies disappeared. You could argue he's disappeared since early April.
Fair. Very fair. Very, very fair. I just want to bring up Zach Gelofs back to AAA because Luis Urias was activated from the IL. I bring this up because he's played 7 games this season, I believe, 7 or 8 games this season. I'm treating this more of, hey, he needs to get right, like a spring training situation here for him as he was injured for most of the season. I expect Zach Gelofs back in a couple of weeks. I still dropped him because I need players right now at this point in the season. But it's one of those where some people are trying to bury Zach Gelofs, and I get it. He struck out almost 48% of the time in his week here, but his quality of contact was still very barrels, hard hit, very, very good. I expect him back in a couple of weeks. So if you are one that wants to hold Zach Gelofs, teach your own, but I don't expect him down for too long.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold either, and I agree with everything you said. Like Luis Urias is not the answer at second man. I guess they move Max Muncy over to second for now. So maybe it extends Max Muncy's run there, but I agree. I think this is just like an, oh crap, Zach Gelofs not ready. Like he's still ramping up while everyone else has been playing regular season ball for 3.5 months. So wouldn't be opposed to refabbing Zach Gelofs when he gets called back up again. I don't know about $88 worth. But no, probably not. You know,
don't have that anymore.
Couple shekels there. So,
no, I will definitely be back in on that situation. But just wanted to give my 2 cents on that for those out there. Connor Norby of the Miami Marlins was placed on the IL with wrist inflammation. Was maybe starting to hit a little at the plate. It was kind of been a down season for the expectations we had for Connor Norby. Graham Pauly was recalled. Anything get you excited here?
No, not really. Connor Norby, one of my favorite draft targets entering the season, just has not happened. Injuries, kind of a lost season for Mr. Norby. Not all that interested in Graham Pauly, 7 homers, 5 steals, 144 plate appearances at AAA. Not going there in Fab.
Yep, that is very, very fair in that regard. Jake Myers was placed on the IL with his lingering calf injury, so keep an eye on that. They're saying he's out for at least 3 weeks, at least, and we know Astros time is different than real time. So keep that in mind.
Like dog years.
Yeah, Bryce Matthews was recalled. He played 2 out of the first 3 games since he was up at shortstop. Jeremy Peña is starting to do baseball activities, but still has a little ways to go. Yordan Alvarez sees a specialist on Thursday. We'll see how that goes. But to the Jake Myers situation, what are you doing here? Because like I said at the top of this, we have like 10 weeks to go. What are you doing right with Jake Myers?
10 weeks to go and a minimum of 3, you're out. Likely 4 or 5, whatever. I think you drop Jake Myers in non-IL leagues. And it sucks. Like Jake Myers is one of my – actually touting him for a little while. He's quietly had a pretty good season, good batting average, good steals, but can't really hold on to someone like that when they're out for at least 30% of the remaining season. So not all that. I don't think you mentioned like Taylor Trammell. He's been up before the injury, but like that doesn't do it for me. Kennedy Corona, you've written about your ALS PT tomorrow, just not playing enough. Like some long-term ceiling there, but not drinking that Corona. And I don't know. It's about all I got on the Strohs. Let's see what that Yordan Alvarez news eventually comes to, but
I don't have my hopes up. And the best case is they said he could be clear to start swinging. Still doesn't mean much. So a grain of salt, I guess, is maybe some slight hope of optimism because most people have held him this entire time. So you're hoping for any sign of optimism right about now.
You're looking at one of them. I've held Yordan in our listener league all season. I mean, he's too hard to drop.
I get it. I get it. Especially in the listener league, that's a 15-team league. That's right. Tough. Like 12s, yep. I could see where those drops start to like could have been happening just because of the situation at hand. But it's tricky. It's very, very tricky. It's not as easy as Michael Harris the second or something like that. So
I'm still holding on in a 12.
Is that the Vegas league? Is that the Vegas league?
Dude, that league, man.
That makes sense. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't even know if that is the Vegas league. It's either that or the Tofu Bat Beat the Bloom team. So both of those
probably both. Knowing your love for him, you probably drafted him in both.
Yeah. No, it's just one of my 2 12s. It's the Bloom Vegas league where I am sitting comfortably in 12th place.
Yes, comfortably. And it's a 12-team league for those keeping track at home. Kevin Hastings says, aloha, fellas. Thought you may have the night off, so stoked you're on. We are here, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Last bit of news we have here. Hunter Dobbins returned from the IL. Hunter Dobbins is out for the season with a torn ACL. Richard Fitz is back up. I think this is more Kyle Harrison's spot in the coming weeks.
That's what I'm kind of leaning with. I've never been a Richard Fitz fan. It's like for me, the writing on the wall is there with Kyle Harrison to at some point soon get back up with the Red Sox. I like Kyle Harrison, as I think we've talked about in the last couple Fab episodes. I like him as a pitcher stash if it's going to happen within like the next couple weeks, which I'm kind of banking on. So you could have taken Kyle Harrison this past week and kind of used the All-Star break to your advantage there. But I think Harrison is up at some point with either A, this Richard Fitz experiment doesn't work out again. B, like Walker Buehler, they just decide to end that experiment for this season. There's a number of ways for Kyle Harrison to get up and get in. The Red Sox have been tweaking with his pitch mix, his delivery, and that sort of thing. Like I think there's still a pretty big ceiling with Kyle Harrison. So I think that's the name you need to kind of look at here in Boston's rotation, not Richard Fitz.
Completely agree on that. All right, that wraps up our news, Ryan. So let's get to our Bloom boards for the final first half recaps player discussions.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to start out with the relievers because that's what I have preloaded into StreamYard here. So similar basically the exact same concept as what we did last week with our hitter reviews. We're going to take the preseason NFBC main event ADP. So this is 15 team leagues that were drafted pretty much at the end of March, right before opening day. I've got the top 30 relief pitchers on here, sorted by that preseason ADP. And then we've got their year-to-day rank from the Fangraphs player rater for 5x5 leagues so far. Really, I will say a little bit of a disclaimer with relievers and Fangraphs. Like there's some weirdness. So I would not look at like the straight up position rank of like there's like a, like Adrian Hauser is technically tagged as a reliever in Fangraphs. He's like a top five reliever. So don't get too hung up on like the actual, the precise number for these guys. Like Kyle Finnegan's the number 56 reliever, but he's gotten us saves, for example. So that matters to us in fantasy, but I still think it gives a pretty general, paints a pretty nice general picture of what we're doing here.
Yeah, the first thoughts I have, and I'm glad you nailed that because I was going to say that as well, is the rankings are much different for relievers on the player raters, no matter what player rater you look at, the discussion we have every single time
right
on yeah. this. But as a whole, the relief pitching landscape has been messy, I would say. Like Clase, he's gotten some saves, but it's not been the best of roads for him this season. Miller's been an up and down roller coaster of emotions. Like Hader is the number one guy, and that kind of checks. He's been that darn good. But as a whole, when you go through this, like, yeah, okay, some of these guys make sense that they're not high, but at the same time, like, Johan Duran's eighth. Doesn't feel like he's the eighth best guy. So that's why I just bring that up to echo your sentiment here. So I guess we'll just kind of start at the top here, Ryan. We're going to go in pockets. So it goes Clase, Miller, Devin Williams, Josh Hader, Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz just blew the save in the All-Star game, so that was cool. But Josh Hader's been great. Edwin Diaz, he's the third ranked on this board. Let's see how good Edwin Diaz has actually been this
year. He's been 166 ERA.
Yeah, he's been great. So
he's been as advertised. Like, honestly, like even Class A has been like, you're not that disappointed if you took Class A. He's got 20 saves, 5 wins, a 291 ERA. Like that's really good.
Even striking nobody out though.
That's yeah, but you don't
compared to elite relievers.
I get it. You just don't get. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we care that much about strikeouts. Like it matters a little bit, but I think in general with these early relievers, you want those ratios and most importantly, save totals. So that's generally what I'm looking at. Like even Mason Miller. It's a 404 ERA. But he's gotten you 19 saves. Really, for me, the only bust in this top five is Devin Williams. And even Devin Williams, he's got 13 saves. Like, it hasn't been.
Yeah, if we recap at the end of the season, I think that'll be a lot different, the way things have turned around for him.
Exactly. So, like, I don't know if you agree with me on this one or not, but, like, especially early in the season when we're all hot takey, in April and May, it's like, relievers suck this year. And, you know, why'd we spend early? I will admit that the high end relievers haven't been like, it hasn't been as chalky as the previous couple seasons. I think we've been spoiled by the previous couple of seasons because the elite relievers have been so good year over year. I don't know if that's a trend that sticks kind of long term. So while this season relievers haven't been quite as good at the top, I still think it's been pretty strong for the top five and really a lot of the top 10 as well.
All right. I'm going to flip the discussion point here and we can use the board to come back to on this just because it's kind of with the rankings a little different, but to kind of put a point of why people maybe are saying the early ones were not it. Here's your save leaders. Robert Suarez has 28 saves. Robert Suarez, an ADP of 127. Josh Hader has 25, which is obviously up there. Carlos Estevez, 25. Jeff Hoffman, 22. Trevor McGill, 21. Munoz at 21. Emilio Pagan, we'll talk about him way later, at 20. Clase is at 20. Edwin Diaz, 19. Tanner Scott, Helsley, and Miller are all tied for 19. So my point being there, at least half of the top 10 in saves were really none of the top closers off the board.
Yeah, so I think that's the discussion
point. I think that's the discussion point people are having.
So I'll push back though. So all right. So Robert Suarez was top 15. He's 15th closer off the board. Josh Hader was top 15. Estevez, who, and again, I'm going down that same list of saves leaders that you had.
Top 20, basically.
Was top 20. Hoffman was top 15. Trevor Megill was top 15. Andres Munoz was top 15. Yes, Emilio Pagan out of nowhere, so we'll give you that. Class A, obviously top 15, number one. Edwin Diaz, top 15. Tanner Scott, top 15. Almost all these guys were top 15 closers.
Yes, top 15 is fine. I guess I'm talking about the top guys people were saying I have to take an early pick with, like a top five round pick with.
Yep.
They did not pan out. Compared, they're still good. Still good. But I would say that was the early discussion point. Now it's coming back to reality because even Mason Miller's getting on a good run of late. Like there was a section of time there where it was really bad
for
Mason Miller. So that turned to a plus. I still Iglesias is going to be better. He picked up two saves last week. He's back in that role. Devin Williams has been much better. But like Ryan Walker, gone. Johan Duran might get traded. Who knows what's going on there? Felix Bautista's been okay, but not consistent. But yes, Tanner Scott leads baseball in blown saves, for Christ's sake.
Not a category. Not a category. Yes. Also has 19 saves, which is
nuts. But that was kind of early in the season. He might end the season with like 22 at this pace. Yeah. So I'm trying to be devil's advocate here.
I basically look down this top 15 of preseason ADP. All but one still has the closer job.
That's true.
The only one who does not have the closer job out of the top 15 closers drafted is Ryan Walker. Unless I'm missing somebody. Like I'm assuming Raisel Iglesias still has the job. Devin Williams still has the job. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but like, and I agree with you that spending like the top 45, top 50 overall pick on a closer hasn't worked out, but you kind of did have to spend anyway, at least in these NFBC leagues for a top closer, because that's just what the prices were.
Yeah.
And I just think outside of Ryan Walker, it's honestly hasn't been that bad for what you were expecting to get.
That's fair. I can agree with that. I was just trying to throw some salt on it and see where it goes. I guess more importantly, if you look at the second half of the board, like Kinley's still doing his thing. Ratios aren't great, but he's getting saves. Romano's gone. Fairbanks is quietly doing his thing. Presley's gone. Carlos Estevez is a beast. Bednar's doing his thing, but whatever. Finnegan's been good. Chapman's been awesome. But then Martin, Ursig, Francis, Yates, Jax, the good doctor, and Hodge, pretty much all gone. So that second half there, it actually drives the point home to it. You were saying you might need two guys in the early going to still be alive right now.
Yeah. Just real quick, because Michael C. made a good point in the chat. He says, Ryan, right, but top 50 ADP, you want dominance, tons of Ks, as well as the saves. And so, that is a good point at that top 50 level. But it's interesting to me that outside of, so yes, you just mentioned these, you just ran down the names, basically 15 through 23 or whatever, basically the top 200 in ADP. Outside of that, right, with Chris Martin, Lucas Ursig, Bowden Francis, I shouldn't even have on here, but Kirby Yates, Griffin Jacks, good doctor. Like, if you waited outside the top 200, unless you hit on like an Emilio Pagan or you picked up a Will Vest and Fab, you can sit here and complain about the early closers. But if you waited past pick 200 to go, oh, I'll just go get some late closers, there's pretty much nothing there. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of just talking at this point. I mean, this is a podcast. It is what we're paid millions to do. But I think you still had to pay up, at least in middle rounds, to get your guys. And if you did that, you generally should be in decent shape outside of Walker, Romano, and Ryan Presley. It's like three guys out of the top 200 overall picks.
And I agree with that. And it was one of our talking points in preseason was you wanted at least two of your guys by like that. Jansen, Romano, like the top, 20-ish. You wanted like two, pretty much, is what we were kind of.
Remember, Finnegan was like our big cliff guy, right? Like after Finnegan, we were like, I don't know. And obviously, Aroldis Chapman, who by ADP was the pick right after Finnegan, he's been just a freaking stud. But that has kind of turned out to be true.
Yep, agreed. So that's been a big part of it. And like when everyone talks about you can get saves off the waiver wire, yes, you can, but it has not been ideal. We'll hit some more of that here in a second. But any other take-homes from this actual 30 we have here? Because I like the point you did make, though, in the top 15. There's pretty much only one guy that's lost his job on that board, which is pretty telling considering we're used to maybe more turnover at the position.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen so much. It was close with Devin and Iglesias, but it looks like that's coming back to reality.
And that's one thing I would say, I looking back, and again, we're only halfway, whatever, two-thirds through the season, whatever the percentage is, I was pretty down on, like, I was sitting here preaching, grab a closer in your first four or five rounds, because I thought that midsection was kind of weak, starting with, like, Yoan Duran, who we know isn't, like, always the primary guy, but, like, that Yoan Duran, Felix Bautista, Jeff Hoffman, Trevor McGill, Robert Suarez, like, that whole group has been pretty nails, and a lot of folks were avoiding that group, and I think that's also why some of these early closers were pushed up so high in the top 50, top 60, is because there were flaws, at least we thought, with a bunch of those kind of mid-tier guys that I just listed, and pretty much they've all turned out to be pretty good.
Yep, I totally agree. Why don't you hit on a couple of the names you wrote down here as breakouts, and I got a couple more that were not listed here because there's probably different on the player radar.
Yeah, so I mean the big one is Emilio Pagan, right? Yeah. Like, and that's what everyone's going to kind of focus on when you say just wait on closers and grab one off the wire. Like, I did not expect Emilio Pagan
real quick is, he wasn't so much as wait for the wire. That was like he still had to make that pick like week one of the wire. So it wasn't like a week 10 move or something. You still had to like take that chance early on, like people did with Luke Jackson. Pagan worked. Luke Jackson did for a second, not so much anymore. So there's yes and no to that point. Yes, you could pick him up on the wire, but it had to be real quick out the gate.
And if you decided on Luke Jackson over Emilio Pagan, your team's in obviously a lot, and it's easy in hindsight to say that, but like no one was talking about Emilio Pagan before this season.
No, no, so, for sure.
And Luke Jackson was like one of the more popular ads. So that was pretty wild. Will Vest, I would say, is the other one. 15 saves and 5 wins. Like that's been nails. And Will Vest didn't cost us that much. I want to say that. I don't think Will Vest, like maybe some triple digit bids back when he was going in Fab, but I feel like we thought the Detroit situation was so splintered, and it still kind of is, but Will Vest has been awesome to get that production off of Fab. 230 ERA with those 15 saves and 5 wins, like that definitely helps.
A couple other guys I want to mention here that probably just didn't rate out well. Yeah, Camilo Duvall now. He's got 15 saves already with the 2.95 ERA as he's taking over for Ryan Walker. Daniel Palencia, our boy, has 12 saves, the 1.57 ERA. I saw Rick Graham of Pitcher List put out this really cool tweet during the All-Star game on Tuesday. Qualified relievers with an ERA under 2, a whip under 1, and a K rate over 25%. Randy Rodriguez, All-Star. Aroldis Chapman, All-Star. Andres Munoz, All-Star. Adrian Morejon, All-Star. Edwin Diaz, All-Star. Shelby Miller, who also has 10 saves, injured. Daniel Palencia is the only one not injured and not an All-Star on that list. So that is quite the skill set he is bringing to the table as well. So I wanted to bring that up when it stood out. But then just to highlight a couple other minor things here for people to the point, if you want to work the waiver wire, as some will say. Like I said, Shelby Miller, 10 saves. If you did that, Tommy Canley's picked up 9. It still has not been great. The Luke Jackson did have 9.
Got you Luke 9. Weaver, yep.
Yeah, Luke Weaver had 8 before he got hurt. The doctor has 8. Seth Halverson, 8. Matt Strom's got 6. Robert Garcia's got 6. So you can still find saves, but there's none of those. Palencia, Duvall, Vest, Pagan, those are the dudes right now. Those are the ones that are helping you, like you're locking them into your lineup week in and week out right now.
Right. So basically just a handful out of, and again, if you're in a 12-team league or 15-team league, that's a 1 in 3 chance of getting that waiver wire guy. Another shout out. I don't think we've mentioned Ronnie Henriquez. He's been getting some love in the chat here. Dr. Doom and Derek as well. Mentioning Ronnie Henriquez. Let's see what the usage looks like for the Marlins in the second half. But yeah, certainly the skills jump off the page for Ronnie, who I don't think much was, like, we were all talking what Tinoco, the good doctor, Fauché, and Bender.
Yeah. I picked up some Henriquez the last couple of weeks, but He has 5 saves on the year. Now he's 5-1 on the year also. He's got 5 wins, which is a plus 2.60 ERA for Enriquez with a 1.13 whip. And if you want to go even deeper here, he's got a 25% K to walk because of a 33.5% strikeout rate. So like you said, skills are pretty lights out for him. It's just Marlins situation.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Anything else on relievers? I just want to highlight that because it's kind of like it was a few years ago. Alex Fast did some work on it. Some other people were like, oh yeah, you can work the waiver wires all season and pick up saves. Not so much this year is the kind of thing I want to highlight. So it goes back to your original point where I tried to fight back on you is you needed to get at least one or two of these top, 15, 20 pitchers. And if you did that, regardless, like I agree, I want the strikeout guys like Michael Cecchini said, regardless, if you're looking for saves here, these guys are still getting you saves and you're still in the running. That's what it comes down to. If you screwed up in this range and you're playing the waiver wire game, it's been a lot of stress if you didn't hit one of those big four we talked about.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing is less than a handful of true fab ads that at least as of now are the guy. I was expecting to see more carnage, honestly, on this board than what we're actually seeing here. So that's basically kind of my perception of how the reliever market has been this year. It's actually been a little bit better than I thought. And then I don't know, man, maybe next year, instead of ranking, I'll put like saves on here. So just something more simple. Just so we kind of throw off the valuation side of it, but still whatever. The starting pitchers are a lot more in line with what we would expect.
Because strikeouts, wins, it all checks out a little different there. So let's talk about it. Let's go to starting pitchers where Bloom's got 2 boards for us to go through. Pitchers 1 through 40 and 41 through 80. Once he brings them up, I will let him explain what we are looking at here, but he's searching and searching and searching for this because they keep altering the StreamYard setup. I was waiting for Bloom to figure this out when I started recorded 2 shows on Monday. I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
This is all different.
So, they keep tweaking stuff left and right. Most of it's really good if you know what you're doing. I don't. So, there you go.
Head on a swivel here if you take a few days off, which I don't doubt. I'm actually all good with StreamYard. They've been awesome trying out new things and making things better. But yeah, sometimes when they change stuff, things are not where I expect them to be. All right. Same deal. Starting pitching. Now we on the board here for the YouTube crowd, we are looking at the top 40 by preseason ADP. And similar to relievers, it's what their ranking is by position for amongst other starting pitchers so far this season. So, and a pretty good, like, again, I think it's pretty accurate that the Fangraphs player rater on starting pitchers is because it's not so dependent on saves. So I'll let you kind of guide the discussion. A lot of stuff to talk about with our starting pitching board. A lot of green, a lot of red, not a whole lot of white. It's like either death or good times.
Yeah, it's one of those, like we talked about, do you go pitching early? Skeens has been good, just not getting wins. Nothing you can do about that except realize he's a Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher, maybe avoided it, but otherwise he's been great. Scooble's been nuts. Crochet has been great. Wheeler's been great. So top 4 off the board haven't hurt you at all. I don't think we have a whole lot to add to that. Logan Gilbert injured and really hasn't been the same guy since. When I dug in on Logan Gilbert for a recent daily matchups after he had like 3 or 4 starts off the IL, Ryan, it was very interesting because wasn't going that deep into games. He's giving up runs. Strikeouts and control still look good. So it was kind of a mixed bag. Maybe he's still shaking out the rust or maybe he's still hurt. I don't know with him. So I'm kind of concerned there. But then Chris Sale, very good till he got hurt. Corbin Burns, done for the season. Cole Reagan's injured. Dylan Cease, not great. Dylan Cease is an interesting one. And I'm not trying to justify things here because it's not been great. The ERA is over 4. The whip is not great. Strikeouts are awesome. He either pitches phenomenally or he struggles. And I can't remember which. I think it was a Padres beat writer I saw the other day. Goes, the Dylan Cease experience, he either gets through the third time through the order or he gets destroyed through the third time through the order because he'll start 3 or 4 innings and he looks like he's in for another great start. And it just goes downhill in a hurry with Dylan Cease. And that sums up why his season has not been what one would expect.
Yeah, if only Aaron Nola like had a pulse, that comp would have come through. This is Nola-esque from Dylan Cease, honestly.
Did you like the GIF I used tonight?
No, but I have to. So, good choice. No, Dylan, I mean, this is a Nola type performance. I mean, this is what I kind of said Dylan Cease was before the season. The K's are going to be there, but like the ratios. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing with Dylan Cease, good God, dude, he's 3-9. He's got three wins. Like, yeah, there are a lot, like that closer board that we just had up, there are a lot of closers that have more wins than Dylan Cease.
Right, I just now said Ronnie Enriquez has five.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's wild. I did not know Dylan Cease only had three wins.
Yeah, it's brutal, but it's one of those also, like, if I try to tell myself things are okay, it's, you look like the Sierras 3-4-1, which is in line with pretty much every other season. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just like he has a couple hiccups. Like I said, watching his starts, it's so, he's got 10% barrel rate, the worst of his career. Like, he's given up the loud contact, but his K to walk's almost identical to last year's. It's really, funny, really frustrating.
Dylan Cease's BABIP the last, and this is one of many reasons why trying to project pitching is just so freaking hard. Dylan Cease BABIP the last 4 years, 260 in 2022, had a great season. In 2023, is 330, had a terrible season with the White Sox. Last year, it was 263, had a great season with San Diego. And this season, Dylan Cease has a 320 BABIP and having a terrible year. Sometimes it's not only the luck factors like that, but to what you were just saying, Bubba, is when those hits drop, the sequencing of it is just so random, but also so important with pitchers that it can wreak havoc.
It's like, so I guess like I'm trying to tell myself is he keeps starting him because maybe he goes on a run and things turn back to like some favor for him because he's not been just horrible, but the results have been very bad.
Well, and he's got to be, I mean, strikeout-wise, Dylan Cease has to be...
He's great.
Up there.
Yeah, he's got 129 Ks right now in 103 innings. Like, he's just fine. He's doing it. He's doing what I wanted him to do. It's just, I need better ratios.
That's top 10 in strikeouts in MLB, yep. Dylan Cease. Yep.
So he's doing his thing. Just the end results aren't working, so that's why I wanted to highlight that when I wanted to take my medicine so everyone can have their fun, but just also point out, like, to your point, predicting pitching can be extremely difficult. Extremely difficult on this one.
And it goes, I'll just further go the next two names down the board here in terms of trying to predict this stuff. And we were both out on Jacob DeGrom and Yoshinobu Yamamoto are both healthy and thriving in the first half. And if you told me that, like if you told me Logan Gilbert, and I know George Kirby isn't on this list because he got hurt before a lot of these main event drafts. If you told me Logan Gilbert and George Kirby did what they did in the first half while DeGrom and Yamamoto were healthy, I would have gone to Vegas and lost a lot of money, which I kind of did anyway by participating in drafts out there. But yeah, like that's just another thing. Like DeGrom and Yamamoto thriving, being healthy, they are 5-17 respectively through the first half per the Fangraphs Player Rater. Excellent seasons from both of them.
Totally agree. Schwellenbach was having a great season that is obviously put on hold these days. Framber Valdez, though, continues to just be that little steady engine that could. It maybe not be overwhelming, but the dude just beast mode. Just continues to do it. Strikeouts aren't what you'd probably – they're not bad, but you always want more with Framber. But dude just puts up innings and gets the job done. So loving what we're seeing from Framber.
Puts up innings, goes deep into games, thus putting him in position to get wins. Framber has 10 wins, and he is 11th overall, at least among qualified pitchers in strikeouts in MLB this year. So, like, the K's have...
Accumulating.
He's got a ton of innings. He's got 121 innings, Framber Valdez. That's top six in the league. So, while the rate of strikeouts may not be there, he is 11th overall in K's. Great year for Framber Valdez so far.
So that took your first, let's say, 15 pitchers. I'm just spitballing, just maybe 12 pitchers off the board. Then it gets rough. In that first 12, you have Reagan, Cease, Burns, Sale, Gilbert, all battling injuries throughout the season. It's almost half of them hurt.
Schwell, did you say Schwellenbach?
Yeah, Schwellenbach too. Yeah, so like half of that top section hurt. Now to the final 2, 4, 6, 7. That's the top 13. Michael King. It's amazing he's still 40th.
RIP. Just randomly, yeah, like died overnight, sleeping wrong, yeah, on his shoulder, in quotes.
Spencer Strider started the year late. Really hasn't looked like Spencer Strider. Like, people say he's back. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you watch him pitch and it's not Spencer Strider. Like, they say it's a year after surgery, Ryan. It's a year after surgery. Oh, it's him, it looks like. Tyler Glasnow just came back off the IL. Pablo Lopez, done. Tanner Bibee, healthy. Bryce Miller, injured. Bailey Ober, injured. So my point, the final seven, six out of the seven, pretty much injured slash not really there.
Yeah. And who was sitting here saying, oh, I want to grab three, four early hitters and then take some starting pitchers around 70.
You need to just wait another round and you're good. If you look for the next side of the round, board. Yeah. You need to do what I did. Wait another round. Keep going.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah, waited. I mean, you waited like three more rounds, which even better. Yep. Screw it. So out of this top 20 for starting pitchers, let's just kind of go through it. How many are we comfortable saying are good picks heading into the second half? Skeens, Scooble, Crochet, Wheeler. It's four.
Yes, for sure.
Maybe Gilbert, but I don't want to say, no, at the price, I'm going to say no.
Like I said, when I looked at him under the hood for the four starts, right, I was not impressed at all.
I'm going to say no on Cease. You never know, but Dylan Cease? No.
No, I'm dropping all the way to Framber, honestly.
What about DeGrom? I would say yes to DeGrom.
I could say yes. I guess I'm just pessimistic
on that. You're stubborn and waiting for
an injury. I want him to be great.
Let's count him. I think we have to count him. Objective. We'll count Yamamoto as one.
I'm not counting Yamamoto.
Well, you hate the Dodgers, so that's
why. It's not just that, man. He had that great run to start the season. And he finished the season against the Giants very well. I'll say that much. But he had an up and down go. Like, he had a 4.2 ERA in June. July was better in his 14 innings. He had that 1.06 ERA in April. That really carried things. Yeah. He's still good. Still good. I'm not sold. He's at 104 innings. I guess I'm just pessimistic and worried on that one. But I guess if you want to, fair.
Well, whatever. We'll just say between 6 and 7 we're at so far. You don't feel good about King? You don't feel good about Strider?
Nope.
Maybe. But we don't feel good about Strider. Don't feel good about Glasnow, Lopez, Bibee, Miller, Bailey Ober. So out of the top 20 starting pitchers, 6 to 7, only 6 or 7 of them we are actually comfortable rolling with in the second half. Like, that is
in the first 83 picks.
It's just very interesting how it's fallen apart.
Now on the right side, picks 21 through 40, much happier. Given Shota, are we comfortable with Shota with what we've seen? Like, he bounced back nicely in his last start.
Yeah,
in the Bronx.
I'm comfy, but I love Shota. So
do I. But Joe Ryan's been awesome. Logan Webb's been awesome. Hunter Green's not back. Aaron Nola's RIP. So, like, I'll stop there if you want. But anything
can't stop on Aaron Nola.
Anything? It's a fine red line to stop on, so it's easy to keep track.
We can continue here, dude. Look how red that is, man.
That is mooing rare,
and it's surrounded by. I know this isn't the best audio, but literally, like, everything is green. Everything is good around Aaron Nola except for Aaron Nola. Like,
there's nine pitchers,
not
the only red one.
I really know how to pick them, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm surprised people even listen to me. I don't know.
They love you, Ryan. You bring the goods. Don't worry about it. After that, Hunter Brown's been awesome. His last few starts have been a little rocky, though. I'll say that much. The regression's coming, but the overall stats are still great. Max Fried, he's still getting the job done, but he feels like he's a ticking time bomb on the mound. Robbie Ray's been awesome. Christopher Sanchez's been awesome. So I'll stop there. There's nine pitchers.
Yeah.
Let's do your exercise. How do you feel about that group of nine? I feel a lot better about that group of nine than I do the first 20.
Like the entire top 20. Yeah. Granted, the elite of the top 20, the skiing school, like, they're much
better. Okay, so the next 16 on that board, I like this nine better.
Agreed. And maybe that's probably just a one-off with this season, but it's just wild how the ADP from like 85 to 100, there's a lot of starting pitchers going there, or there were a lot of starting pitchers going there that you just rattled off. It's pretty wild how that group has pretty much outperformed any other pocket outside of the top four starting pitchers overall. Like, that's if you waited on pitching and you waited correctly on these guys and not the fools that I took around earlier, you are loving that strategy of going hitter early, maybe early closer, and then pounding this group of Shota, Joe Ryan, Logan Webb, Hunter Brown, Fried, Ray Sanchez. Like, that's worked out quite well.
And then the next 11 here, you got Roki. He's been done. Peralta's been awesome. Freddie's been great. 10th on the board. All-star continues to get the job done there. Milwaukee, Luis Castillo. I was worried about him going into the season. Zach Gallen has been horrific. Justin Steele's been hurt. Sandy, we've talked about that a million times.
Bad. Yep.
Brian Wu's been awesome. At least 6 innings in every start it's been amazing looking at what he's doing. And we thought his arm would fall off by now. So who knows what's going on there. Jack Flaherty's been an up and down case of emotions. Carlos Rodon's been great. Nick Pavetta's been great. Sonny Gray's been great. Like, so it goes to the point that if you did wait and you took pitchers or hitters in like your first six, seven rounds, you could have gone like two to three pitchers in a row and probably done pretty darn good.
Yeah. I want to, since I'm Mariners focused, I did want to harp on the Brian Wu thing. It's just like entering the season, you had Kirby, you had Gilbert, you had Bryce Miller, you had Luis Castillo, all going ADP wise ahead of Brian Wu. And 3.5 months later, Brian Wu, that stat of going 6+ innings every single time is absolutely bonkers to me. And we were both very skeptical of Brian Wu entering the season. So kudos to all who ignored that advice.
I will say, I'll let you back. When it comes to Brian Wu, I'll take my thought process there every single time. I will not regret that, because more often than not, I'd say well over half, probably closer to like 80% of pitchers in his situation, we made the right decision. Let's put it that way. He is a freak of nature right now. I don't know what's going on. And Christopher Sanchez is doing the same thing now from the left side. So I'll take that. And it's like some of them you just don't get right. I'll trust my quote unquote, I'll trust the process on this one and see where it goes.
I'm with you too. Removing the name Brian Wu, if I faded that profile at a 123 ADP, I would do that again. I think more often than not, those guys don't just suddenly get healthy and pitch 6+ innings every single time.
Especially with like, I was all in on like Rodon, Pavetta, Gray. I know you liked Pavetta a lot, so it was one of those like, I like Peralta a lot. So I there's a pocket there I liked a ton where I could just skip on Wu basically.
Real quick on Sonny Gray again, just kind of, I mean, no real analysis here, but like I remember Sonny Gray entering the season, I was so damn nervous with him. Remember the velocity was down. He unveiled this information at spring training that he basically pitched through a forearm injury and just kind of hoped, like at the end of the last season, just kind of hoped it would be better this year. Somehow it has been, and Sonny Gray's been really good. So that's pretty funny to think back on.
Is he the new Zach Greinke in spring training? Basically, like I'm just gonna not care.
I mean, he's a fellow old. What they do.
So yeah, keep trusting the Gray train. Anything else on 1 through 40 before we hit the back 40 on this one?
Let's do that same exercise. 21 through 40. How many of those pitchers? Remember, it's 6 to 7 on the on the top 20. How many of those pitchers are we good with as of now? Shota, I would say yes.
Yes.
Yep. Joe Ryan, of course. Logan Webb, of course. Not Green. Not Nola. Hunter Brown, yes.
Yes.
I think you still have to say Freed, yes. Yeah, he's number 6 overall.
I know, dude. You have to, but you have to also admit that there's some sketchiness involved there, but yes.
Both can be true. Robbie Ray, you're happy with, 14th pitcher. Christopher Sanchez, we're already at 7. You're happy with Freddie Peralta.
Yep.
Luis Castillo, I'll say no, just for the sake of it, but he hasn't killed you. Maybe you disagree. Yeah. You're happy with Luis Castillo?
I'm not happy with Luis Castillo. No. Okay. Never a Castillo guy.
Not happy with Gallen. Not happy with Steele, no. Sandy, but you're happy with Brian Wu. Probably not with Flaherty. You're happy with Rodon. That's 10. Yep. You're happy with Pavetta, and you're happy with Sonny Gray. That's 12 out of the next 20. That's almost double SPs 1 through 20 in this next group of 20 that you are at least satisfied with entering the second half, both in terms of their second half outlook, but also what they've done in the first half. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
If you want to be kind of more glass half full, that gives us 19 of 40 overall on this board.
Good point.
If we want to 50%. Be more glass half full. But
it's quite literally half full. It's like half of them.
But I'm saying, like, because we were so negative on just, but if you put it all together, it's half of the board. But in reality, it's the second half of the board. So I just want to, try to make a little happier note before we head to the back 40 on this.
Yep. Real quick on Flaherty, Dr. Doom says Flaherty at least has the strikeouts. I still think there's some hope for Flaherty. Not all is lost, like with some of these other bums that I was in on. But yeah, still hope.
There. Well, that's one thing when I had Brandon Waddell on bench with Bubba, like we talked Flaherty, for instance. It's like, do you put up with it? Same with, like, it's like the Dylan Cease case. Like, he's getting all the strikeouts. The ratios are annoying, but the ceiling he brings to the table is so much better than some other options out there. You just keep rolling that dice, see what happens.
All right.
All right. It's not as green on the back 40. I'm going to throw that out there. I got it all printed up in front of me here while you go to look for it. You can definitely find some spots here, Ryan, but what are we seeing from 41 through 80?
So this is where it gets, starts to get dicey, though. Starting pitchers 41 through 60, there's some definite hits here. And we're talking ADP like 140 to 240. So that type of that range, your hits, well, I'll let you kind of guide it, but there definitely were some spearheaded by my guy, Nathan Edward Eovaldi, 7th overall. You like that out of ADP of 190 with missed time.
As I any missed time, but he's freaking sub 2 ERA. He's got the best ERA in baseball, I'm pretty sure. So he's been very, very good. Very good. But this is a good board, because in reality, we're talking ADP 140 and beyond. So these should be at least your SP4 or later, which you're not looking for an ace here, but you can get ace types with Eovaldi. We've seen Kodai Senga, which is surprising to see him at 23, even though he's missed a bunch of time. He has the very low ERA. I know we've talked about him, like when you look at the Sierras and all the other skills that we like to look at, not great, but he's getting the results. Pepio's been really good, really, really good. Mackenzie Gore's been outstanding, which we've talked about many times. Seth Lugo's still boring but beautiful. Nick Lodolo has quietly been very, very good. And then Drew Rasmussen's been awesome, just not sure for how much longer. So, like, it checks out, but I guess the more important question is, like, on this section is you were taking SP4s, SP5s. Like your George Kirby, Gavin Williams, people loved, did not pan out at all. Brandon Pfaadt's been a massive disappointment. So is Taj Bradley. So this is, I think, Ryan, where we get more into it's you kind of probably narrowed it down to two people at your pick. Did you pick the right one?
That's what it always comes down to, especially when you look at like Brandon Pfaadt and Taj Bradley sitting there, ADPs of 171 and 183, surrounded by your Pepio that you just talked about, Clay Holmes, Mackenzie Gore, Seth Lugo, Eovaldi, like taking Pfaadt and Bradley in that spot instead of those other four or five guys I just mentioned, like huge, huge impacts to your team, even though they went pretty much side by side. Feels like fewer disasters with this SP 40 through 60 group. You've got Walker Buehler, who's been truly horrendous, Nola-esque, Zach Eflin, and then like probably Pfaadt and Bradley, but that's about the same number of true disasters that we saw on the last slide, the last board at SP 21 through 40. So there is a decent chance if you took two of these pitchers in this group that both of them may have returned value so far at where they were picked, and maybe even considerably. If you avoided just a handful of guys out of this 20.
Yeah, if you were by the end of this 20 had 5 to 6 starting pitchers out of the first 60. That's asking a lot, but when we talked about our preseason, we kind of had that idea in place. Like by pick 100, you wanted 2 to 3, by pick so on and so forth. So if you had 6 starters here, it makes, first off, before we get to the second half, makes the second half of this board a lot easier to taste. But to your point, there were enough guys on this board that you could have paired with your early picks and done pretty good damage with. Again, your Pfaadts and Bradleys are tough, but even like Kikuchi's 69th off the board, he's been pretty serviceable for us overall throughout the season. Kevin Gausman, he's been serviceable. And again, these aren't your aces, so there's going to be hiccups. You might not start them all the time. It's nice. As Rob DiPietro in the chat says, Brandon Pfaadt's 9 wins sure are nice. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I picked him up in a 12 this past week. I'm like, I'll take the chance on a cheap Brandon Pfaadt. Same with Taj Bradley. Talked about that on Bench with Bubba Monday. Massive home road splits with Taj Bradley in that bad ballpark. And shocker, the Rays play most of their games on the road in the second half of the season. So you got that going for you. But Lizardo, very good till the blowups.
Oh.
So like my point being is you got a lot of goodness on this. Like Grant Holmes, he's had great starts, and you probably didn't start him because he got magical two-step weeks, but he's been very good. So to your point, this 41 through 60, quite serviceable. Really, really has been quite serviceable.
Yeah, more so than I would have thought, and certainly a ton more than once you start specking ADP 225 and beyond that we'll talk about at the end that you were happy with. So anybody here, I'll kind of switch up the question that we were like totally, again, we hate talking about stuff we get right, that we were totally wrong on that surprises. I would say Shane Boz at ADP 209. I was totally off on. And granted, off on like Shane Boz is he's 61st right now by the Fangraphs player rater. Had a brutal month of, I want to say May, where he had, I think, like a 7-plus ERA. Every other month this season, Shane Boz has had a sub-330 ERA. And I don't know about the second half outlook with Shane Boz. We've talked about him and kind of the lack of workload and my reservations with that, with the skills, even if he stays healthy, how that looks in the second half. But certainly someone I was totally off on entering the season, and somebody who's been quite, to use your word, serviceable in the first half for you.
Yeah, agreed. He was one I was fully off the board on. I'd say Brandon Pfaadt was one I was all in on. And that has been very frustrating as well on Same. The flip side of that.
I know. Yeah.
So that is stung as well. But for the most part, like we keep saying, it's a broken record now. You didn't get crushed by this board. Yeah, there was some badness, but like I feel like you got hurt a lot more early on. Like if you're on Walker Buehler, you probably didn't have him for all of the damage. You should have dropped him a long time before that, which at least eases the pain a little bit, I guess. Then Zach Eflin got hurt, so that didn't help either.
Do we want to do the same out of 20, how many we're comfortable with, or move on?
If you want. Most of these guys, like, it's the point of the season now. Well, no, like, you're at the point of the season now. Like, these guys are either locked in or you're starting to stream everywhere you can pretty soon at this point. But, yeah, if you want. Like, you have pretty much whatever's green, I'm probably locked in on, to be honest. I'm not going to get too cute with it. But, go for it.
Okay, so Kirby's tough. Are you happy with Kirby? You took him at 140. You knew he was missing time.
No.
Okay. No. You're definitely not happy with Gavin Williams. You're happy with Senga. Yep. With Gossman.
I'm okay with Gossman.
What? Clay Holmes? Got to be happy.
I was happy.
I don't like the second half.
I'd be jumping ship right about now.
We're at like 2.5. I've got Jean-Pierre Paul fingers here, counting with half a finger.
Jean-Pierre.
Jason. You say Kikuchi. I still don't think you're that happy with, but I don't know. We'll say three. It. You live with it. Pepio, you're happy. Pfaadt Bradley, you're probably not, despite the Pfaadt wins.
But I'm very interested in the second half. I am on both of them. Exactly. I like the skill set still. I still like the skill sets.
Kenzie Gore, you're happy with. That's 4. Seth Lugo, 5. Eovaldi, 6.
Yes.
Are you happy with Jesus Luzardo? God. Are you still looking your wounds from that 2-start disaster?
I'm still happy, but it's obviously not ideal. But I've been rolling them out religiously, dominating the Giants. It's all matchups, and we've talked about many times on the Fab shows that the Major League Baseball right now is really not good as a whole versus left-handed pitching. So week in and week out, there's going to be a lot of really good matchups if you play the cards right.
So we're at like 5 or 6. Lodolo, you're happy. Rasmussen, you're happy, though. Second half, we'll see. But, dude, he's been a top 30 starting pitcher this year. Yeah. You're happy if you took Rasmussen there. So we're at 7 to 8. Reese Olson, not really. Just getting
off the IL. Yeah, not happy, but hurt. Hopeful.
Shane Boz, I guess you're happy with it. I'll go 7.5 or something there. And then Buehler and Holmes. Buehler, definitely not Holmes. Grant Holmes.
Maybe. Like a half.
Yeah. So I don't know. We're roughly around 8 out of 20 in this group. You're kind of okay with
that. So we're 27 through 60 right now. That's what it comes down to.
Yep. And we're not gonna add much here with this last group of 20.
No, this is where it gets rough. Jackson Jobe, gone. Tanner Houck, gone. But Rios has actually been decent, especially at pick 235. Like, he's been pretty darn good. Scherzer's been gone for a while, had a good start versus the A's. Still not in love with that. Jeffrey Springs has been sneaky interesting. He really struggled early on, putting it together of late. He was available in some 12s this past week, so I did some digging on him. Had a good start over the weekend in Sacramento to finish up his first half. He's intriguing if he continues to get the innings in the second half of the season. Bowden Francis, no. Dustin May, no. Rennell Blanco, no. Justin Verlander. I'll stop there. Anything stand out to you in that almost all red range?
No, it's just been pretty much a sheer disaster.
All right, now I'm going to pick 276, a guy you were all in draft season, Casey Mize. He's 31st on the board. Gave up a nice home run, I believe, Corbin Carroll on Tuesday night. So that was good, my guy versus your guy. But Casey Mize has been awesome. I jumped on the train after you convinced me, after some pleading. So that was good. Nick Martinez, your boy, not so good.
Yeah.
Bubich is great, but the wheels are starting to unravel on that one.
Yeah. Dr. Doom. Oh, man. I forgot about Hulk. What a train wreck that was. That's part of the, you know, the humility we like to display on the show here with these first half reviews is just relive some of those early season emotions we had from Tanner Houck. Yeah, I don't even know where we were at. I got
Mize, Martinez, Bubich. No. Anything on those three?
No, like Bubich was very popular. I was surprised his ADP stayed so low at 277. I guess we were maybe skeptical of the skills last season being the result of Bubich just pitching out of the bullpen, and how would that translate both skills wise and workload wise? But Chris Bubich has been awesome, and yeah, glad I stuck to my guns with Casey Mize. That turned out good. But yeah, man, these are two, and there's maybe three more guys that we'll talk about here. But you can always find starting pitching late, and that's kind of an outdated thing. We've talked every week about how bad FAB is for starting pitchers, especially in 15 teamer. And like, this is part of the reason why, but you're basically your SP 6 and 7 most likely killed you, or you've already cut them and you're just trying to churn on waivers.
Kumar Rocker's horrible start of the year, injuries looking a lot better with the pitch mix change potentially for the second half of the season. Severino, garbage. David Peterson's been awesome. All-star David Peterson.
Yes.
He's been great. Clark Schmidt, gone. Michael Wacha, old, boring. He's actually been good, but he's old and boring. Mitch Keller's been good. He's trying to match Hunter Brown, as some might say. Max Meyer, gone. And then Merrill frickin' Kelly.
ADP back.
of 293. Just continues to be like, yep, don't forget about me, boys.
Man. Guy pisses me off. He's the year-over-year whipsaw. I was all in on Merrill Kelly last year. Don't have a single share of him this season. And Merrill Kelly's back to being 25th overall. Good for him. That was a long road of recovery for him. But yeah, I'm seeing like maybe four hits out of this next group of 20, right? Mize, Bubich, Peterson, Merrill Kelly. 4 out of 20. Not great.
Nope. That'd be the hits. There's other guys you're working in and out, but it goes back to your point you made. It's again, try to get 5 or 6 starters before the 60 off the board, and then you can stream away and see where it goes. Like, you might have these guys on your roster as team streamers, but like you said, there's four guys you're pretty much starting religiously. The rest of them, you're picking your battles when it comes down to these pitchers. So yeah,
agreed.
All right, any final thoughts on the starting pitching spectrum as a whole? Like, we kind of kept reiterating this, that, and the other about the early picks, the mid picks, so on and so forth. But anything else that stands out to you?
Let's just give shout outs for some of the breakouts that are not on the top 80 starting pitchers. Matthew Boyd just barely missed this list, had like an ADP of 320 entering the season. Matthew Boyd has been the number 11 starting pitcher. Great year for Mr. Boyd. Andrew Abbott, number 19, basically undrafted. Andrew Abbott, and I still don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it and has done it. So you like that. Ranger Suarez just missed this list. Ranger Suarez is number 22 on the Fangraphs player rater and was drafted just barely inside the top 300. So want to give a shout out to those guys. Any other big breakouts I'm missing? Like, even that group, dude, like, not much.
Jose Soriano has been very, very serviceable on this one. Like, your Chad Patrick, Quinn Priesters have been good, but, you know, to each their own. Matthew Liberatore has been very good overall. It's been kind of rough the last couple starts, but he was a godsend for a while there. Same with Will Warren. He's had his ups and downs, but massive strike. Like, he's basically Dylan Cease's stat line if you look at it. Not even kidding. He has more wins actually than Dylan Cease. So that's a very interesting one. I just stared at that stat line. So he's another one you could take a peek at. But yeah, as a whole, you're nothing too crazy, but there are a handful of guys. If you're streaming, you got some love out of by just, I'm just kind of going through the leaderboards for like guys with at least 50, like Edward Cabrera starting to look good, but now he's kind of hurt, but he could have been. Noah Cameron was nice. Just doesn't strike out a lot of guys. So yeah, there are guys you could find out there, but nothing to the point you were making for sure.
The Miz could be huge in the second half. I'm just trying to think of terms of like big fab bigs. Like, obviously, well, the Miz isn't going to be on here, but Dr.
Doom has Giolito in the second half. I agree. Big Giolito fan. So like that as well. Michael C. says, Molly for 56 innings, the Bizarro Hulk. That would be interesting. Uncle Ted, Yuri Perez has been very good the last few starts. It's the Marlins. Cabrera and Perez have been damn good. We've been waiting for that for a while. So Cabrera's not hurt too badly. Let's put it that way.
Giolito last five starts, 21% strikeout minus walk. Ton of strikes, ton of swinging strikes. Velocity's up a bit. So, to Dr. Doom's question, you like where that's trending heading into the post-break.
Yeah, that was a fab pickup. I was very happy to make, even when his first start was so bad. Felt good that got there for sure. Anything else on these boards before I have a question in the chat I want to bring up?
Go for it.
All right. Where did it go? Here it is. Our good buddy Rob DiPietro says, given your coverage up to date on these pitching baskets, where would you expect the best pockets to be in a draft about 5 weeks from now? I bring this up because Rob is referring to the meatball draft, the too early DC, which will be taking place sometime in like probably mid to late August coming up shortly because we are degenerates at heart and it's a yearly tradition. So Rob's trying to get an idea, even though he's probably way ahead of the research than we are.
I was going to say, I don't want to learn from up. I think Rob's just, second or third in this year's version of the league.
I just saw that and laughed. I'm like, oh, he's already putting in work, which is good to see. As one thing I'll say is, as you can tell, it doesn't matter what they're doing now because you can draft Royce Lewis in the third round and think it's a steal, and it doesn't mean a darn thing at that point in time.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We will have a show on that late August or whenever we do the meatball draft. That's an annual tradition worth continuing. So,
and it's a DC. It's not a part of the overall, so nobody can freak out. Don't worry about that. Right.
No complaints there. We can't have any.
All Canadians are happy now.
Any shenanigans. Our friends up north are good with that. But no, super looking forward to that, Rob. It's going to be a grand old time as it is every year.
Yes, most definitely a grand old time. But with that pretty much is our. We got one. Cabrera or Danny at Red Face Radio says Cabrera or Schlitz, rest of season 12 team quality start league. If I knew Cabrera is healthy, I would take Cabrera.
Same. I'd still probably take Cabrera just because it looks like the walk rate improvements could be here to stick, at least to keep manageable. But again, Edward Cabrera has 3 quality starts and 16 starts this year. God. So maybe I'm talking Schlitz.
Well, Schlitz went 5 1/3. We don't know how many more starts he actually has. Like, he perfect world, he pitches most of the rest of the way. We don't know. A healthy Cabrera pitches the rest of the way. So
yeah, that's, I guess, I lean Cabrera. That's tough though. I don't have a firm lean there.
Like, if I knew Schlitz was gonna make, you know, 7 more starts at the Yankees, I'd probably take Schlitz, honestly.
Yeah.
But I can't guarantee that right now. So that's probably not the answer you're looking for, but with the information we have, that's what you get. So, any final thoughts as we'll wrap it up there, come back on Thursday night to preview the week 18 fab?
Oh, man. Good, fun little look back with you here on the pitching half. Hopefully this was, you know, there's not too much actionable, I guess, in terms of the second half, what we do just by looking at the first half. But I just think it's always, when you have that kind of downtime for the All-Star break, it is fun to look back and see what we thought 3.5 months ago. And to your point, and to what you and Ben were talking about on Bench with Bubba earlier this week in Ben's article on the Patreon, we suck at drafting. We, the collective marketplace. It's funny just how ADP is so cemented each spring. And then 3.5 months later, it's like, what were we thinking?
There's a reason why some of the best just show up with a piece of paper and pick their guys. They don't care about what ADP says. Like, just do your work.
I was mid-sip there, man. You can't be saying that stuff.
Yeah, but we'll wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick. This was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 260. Catch you all next time.